Okay, this morning let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew in chapter number 16 and verse number 24. I'm going to continue my study in discipleship and in the things that are necessary in the life of a disciple. Again, remembering that the whole premise of this series of messages is the fact that there are many people who call themselves believers. They've made a profession of faith. They've walked an aisle. They've shook the preacher's hand. They've been baptized or whatever. And that's it. They're not really followers of Jesus. And I'm going to leave as we study the scriptures, there's more to it than that. Really, truthfully, if you're saved, you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we've been taking this time these last few weeks to talk about the things that you will see in the life of a disciple. Today, we're going to look at the need of a disciple to deny himself. As I've been thinking about these messages, I've thought that every message that I preach should follow along these lines to aid you in your ability to be a disciple. Everything that we do as a church, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, should all be about creating disciples and improving the discipleship in someone's life. So Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 24, we do want to remember that every step that we take should be with the intention of becoming a better disciple, of becoming more like Christ. And again, we've talked about why. Why do we desire that? It's because He has redeemed us. We don't want to forget that. We were lost in sin. We were without hope and without God in this world. But Jesus Christ went to the cross and bare our sins in His own body, and He paid our sin debt, and He saved us from death. And He saved us from hell. And he took those of us who had no hope. And when He redeemed us, He gave us hope. He is truly worthy of us following Him. So Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 24, a passage of Scripture that many of you have heard many times. A passage of Scripture that you've probably heard many messages on. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. The interesting thing about this, and when most people preach on this passage of Scripture, they want to focus on bearing the cross. And they want to talk about the difficulty of bearing the cross and the crosses that we are called upon to bear. And that's okay, but sometimes we lose what this passage is really talking about. We do want to keep this passage in context. That's always important to remember as you're studying the Scriptures. When the Scripture is speaking, what is it particularly speaking about at that time? When Jesus said these words, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Who was He speaking to at that time, and what did He mean by that? And that's what we want to look at first. The context. The interesting thing about this is what happened. Peter had just rebuked Jesus. Now, just think about that for just a minute. Jesus tells them, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be delivered, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to be raised again the third day. And Peter says, not so, Lord. Can you imagine Peter going to Jesus and saying, You got that all wrong. That's not happening. But that's exactly what's taking place here. Let's read it. Verse number 22, or 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, Be it far from Thee, Lord, this shall not be unto Thee. What's Peter saying? Peter's saying, God's plan for you is not going to happen. What God has designed for you, it's not going to take place. What Peter doesn't actually realize is that the plan of salvation required Jesus to die. And Peter didn't want Jesus to die because he loved him dearly and he didn't want to see him suffer. But Peter didn't understand the ultimate outcome was that the plan of redemption would be made. And so Peter says, no, this is not going to happen. Peter did not realize that he was speaking against God's plan. So how did Jesus respond to that? Jesus says, I'm going to die. And Peter says, no, you're not. How did Jesus respond to that? Here's how he responded. Verse 23, get thee behind me, Satan. Then said Jesus unto his, or then said, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And so Jesus is telling him, Peter, you're just thinking about this from man's perspective. You're not thinking about it from God's perspective. Now, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Why did he say that? It's because isn't Satan trying to hinder the plan of God? Doesn't Satan want to defeat the plan that God has created for this world? Absolutely. And so Peter was standing in the way of God's plan. Here's the thing that we need to understand about self-denial. Self-denial will require us to be submissive to God's plan. There may be some things with our own eyes that we can't see. We may not understand all that God is doing. And there may be times that God asks us to do something that we don't understand. Or there may be things going on in our world that we don't understand why God is allowing those to happen. And we may not want them to happen. We may not want to walk that path. But self-denial will be that we'll say, not my will, but thy will be done. We will be submissive to God's plan. And it is after this interaction with Peter that Jesus delivers the message of self-denial to his disciples when he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So let's think about self-denial for just a moment and some of the foundational aspects of self-denial for believers. Now we do want to realize that the self-denial is necessary to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If any man will come after me, deny yourself, and take up your cross and follow me. Like we've already mentioned, why would I want to practice self-denial? Why would I want to be submissive to the plan of God? It's because Ephesians 2:4, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. You see, my life was a mess. My life was a wreck. My life was full of sin. My life was full of hopelessness. And God saved me. He changed my life. He forgave me of my sins. He gave me hope. He gave me life. That's why I want to surrender to Him. Why would you want to surrender to Him today? Well, first of all, if you've never been saved, here's why you want to surrender yourself to Him, is because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no way to get to heaven other than Jesus Christ. Except you repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you'll not see heaven. So the reason you want to be submissive to Him is because He is the only way. If you have not repented of your sins today, you're not going to heaven. So surrender yourself to Him and believe the gospel. Trust in Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The rest of you are like me. Why would you want to submit yourself and surrender yourself to the will of God? It's because He has redeemed you also. And He has given you something that you didn't deserve. He has given you a hope that you did not deserve. He's given you life that you did not deserve. He's given you peace that passes all understanding and all of those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You didn't deserve those. He gave them to you. And here's the other thing. The will of God for your life is far better than any will that you can conceive for your own life. So surrender your life to Him today. So what are the foundational aspects of self-denial? First of all, the thing that we need to understand is that this is God's world and He has a plan for it. Peter, in this passage, didn't actually realize the plan of God was being enacted. He didn't realize that what Jesus was revealing to him was the mystery of salvation. Jesus was revealing the plan of God, and Peter didn't realize it. Peter had to understand God has a plan. You need to understand that what's going on in this world is everything that's going on in this world is happening exactly to the will and the plan of God. And ultimately, it's going to bring about God's plan. So self-denial is going to be, first of all, for me to recognize that God has a plan for this world. And secondly, it's going to be this, that He's included me in that plan. My life is a part of His plan to bring about His ultimate plan upon this earth, to restore this world and to bring salvation to this world. My life fits in that plan. Just like the suffering and the death and resurrection of Jesus was a part of the plan of God for this world, you and your life is a part of the plan of God. I don't know how your life is particularly going to fit into the plan of God. I don't know what design God has for you, but I know that He does have a plan, and I know that He does have a design. So it's important. Why would I want to surrender myself to Him? It's because I know He's got a plan. One of the things that people struggle with in life is they think, well, what's my purpose in life? And I feel like I don't have any purpose, and I don't feel like I have any value. Well, listen, that's because you're not finding out what God's plan is for you. But if you will submit yourself to the plan of God and just say, I'm a willing servant, Lord, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do, and surrender yourself to Him, all of a sudden you find that purpose and that value that you have in this life. So understand, God has a plan and you're included in it. And to me, that's an amazing thought. When Dorothy and Doug Campbell decided that they were going to try to have a child sometime in 1964, they didn't know what God was going to do with that decision. But here it is. It's amazing to me that in God's wisdom and plan for this world, He had me included in it. That's astounding to me. Listen, you're not an accident. You're not a product of evolution. You're here because God chose you to be here. He's got a plan. Find it. The third thing that we need to think about is the foundational aspects of self-denial is this. He is the Lord of your life. Now, He's the Lord of your life whether you're saved or whether you're lost, because the Bible tells us that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But those of us who are saved, those of us who are redeemed, we do want to understand that He is the Lord of our lives. When He redeemed us, He paid our sin debt. He bought us back from sin. And so now we are His. We're not our own. So our key factor in self-denial is realizing the Lordship of Christ. You are the Lord's. Now here's why many people struggle. Because they want to say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven, but I want to live my life the way that I want to. I want to have Jesus as Savior, but I want to be in control of my own life. A disciple can't do that. And we're going to find out how vital this is a little bit later on. A disciple needs to understand the Lord is the Lord of their lives. And if I'm going to practice self-denial, it's going to be by recognizing that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Don't struggle with the Lord for control of your life. Surrender your life to Him. Self-denial also is how you follow after Christ. If any man will come after me. See, if you're going to follow Jesus, let him deny himself. The only way that you can really follow Jesus is by self-denial. If any man will come after me, practice self-denial. What do you do when you follow after Christ? What do you do when you follow after Christ? You find life. Listen, Let's turn back to Matthew 11, 29. Here's what Jesus says. When you're following after me, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. You're struggling, and this life is full of trouble. This life is full of trials, and you're struggling, and you're battling against this world, and you're doing the best you can and all of that, but you're trying to live your own life in your own power, doing your own thing, doing it your own way, and you don't find peace, you don't find comfort. But then when you surrender your life to Jesus, and you practice self-denial, and you go to Him, you're laboring and you're heavy laden, but what you find is rest. What you find is peace. What you find is life. Really, self-denial is the way to gain real life. A lot of people, and there's many things we could talk about here, but a lot of people, well, I don't see that comfort. I don't see that peace. All I feel is I feel anxiety. I feel fear. I feel heartache and all those things. That's because you haven't denied yourself and you're not following after Jesus. Because if you will follow after Jesus, what Jesus says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Quit trying to live your life with your own strength and your own power and your own ideas and in your own ways, and surrender yourself to the Lord, and you'll find this rest that He promised. Too many of us struggle with control over our own lives. One other thing that we must remember, Luke 9:23, we won't take the time to turn there, but we want to understand that self-denial is a daily event. Luke 9:23 says, take up your cross daily and follow me. You get up every day and you surrender your life to Him. Every day you're following after Him. Every day you're seeking the will of God for your life. Every day you're submitting yourself to the plan and the will of God. Every day you are denying yourself. Those things are foundational. God has a plan for you. You're included in that plan. He is the Lord of your life. You will follow after Jesus Christ, and in order to do that, you will do it every day. Now, the next thing that we come across when thinking about self-denial is, what is self-denial? I mean, if any man is going to follow after me, he's going to deny himself. What is that? What's that mean? Practice self-denial. Well, for Peter in our text, Peter found out that it was surrendering his thoughts and his ideas to the ways of God. Peter had these thoughts and ideas of what he thought that God's will was, and he wanted Jesus to live with him, and Peter didn't want to see Jesus suffer, and he didn't want to see Jesus die and all of that. But Peter had to surrender his thoughts about this life and about Jesus to God. Had to surrender his thoughts and his ideas to the ways of God. If you are going to deny yourself, you have to surrender your thoughts and your ideas to the ways of God, to the plan of God, to the will of God. That's what self-denial is. Self-denial is the surrendering of self. Now, here's another important thing. It is not the surrendering of self in order to gain acceptance of God. Well, I got to do this so God will like me. And I got to do this because that's not self-denial. That's trying to manipulate God to like you. And it's not surrendering in order to gain a position with God. Oh, the more I do this, the more I do that, the greater place I'll have with God. It's not surrendering in order to gain. That's not self-denial. That's really self-exaltation, because I'm going to hurt myself here to make me look better over there. That's not self-denial. That's trying to gain position. Self-denial is really surrendering whatever comes in competition to love for God, or love or service to God. Whatever causes you to not love God preeminently and primarily in your life, you need to surrender that to God. It is love to Christ above all else. So simply, self-denial is not living unto self, but unto God. Not living unto self, but unto God. Let me share this definition with you that I found in studying self-denial. Living not unto ourselves, but unto God, and for the welfare of others. That's self-denial. These two must be combined. It is not self-denial to give our goods to feed the poor. But apart from the principle of love, it is not self-denial. In other words, if I'm only giving my goods to feed to the poor because that's what my duty is to do, that's not self-denial. But if I'm doing it out of the principle of love, now it is self-denial. Nor is it self-denial for a man to refuse temporal honors for which God has qualified him. Let me tell you this. There are a lot of people that says, well, now listen, if you're going to practice self-denial, then you can't have any position in this world. You can't have a esteemed position. You can't have any authority in this world. That's not self-denial. What if God has designed that for you? What if God has said, like he did Joseph, God's plan for Joseph was to be the prime minister of Egypt. That was God's plan. But what if Joseph said, oh, I can't become the prime minister of Egypt because I got to practice self-denial. So I'm just going to go down and live in jail. I'm just going to go down here and live in jail. And God doesn't want me to be anything any great for him. God doesn't want any good thing for me. I'm just going to go down here and live in jail somewhere. I'm going to be poor all the rest of my life. I'm not going to have any good things. I'm not going to have any authority. I'm just going to go down here and live in jail. What if Joseph would have had that opinion? Then Israel wouldn't have been restored, would they? Then Israel wouldn't have been protected in the famine. It is not self-denial to achieve that which God has designed for you. If God has designed for you to be the president of the United Nations, then go be the president of the United Nations if that's God's design for you. It's not wrong to achieve success in this world if that's what God wants for you, because God may utilize you in that position. One of the things that Christians have done for so long is to say, we must be poor, we must not have any influence in this world, and we must not achieve any success. And so therefore, our influence has lessened in this world. Whereas if we, like Joseph, would have achieved the prime minister of Egypt, now we can really do something for God because we're in a position of authority. In other words, it's not self-denial to demean yourself and not achieve that which God has designed for you. See, nor is it self-denial for a man to refuse temporal honors for which God has qualified him. Listen, if God has gifted you with some gift and some talent, utilize it to the glory of God, and which are given in a providential way. God has talented you with the talents that you have for a purpose. He wants you to utilize them for His honor and for His glory. See, it goes on and says, no self-denial in Joseph refusing to be governor over Egypt, nor is it self-denial to reject the lawful use of God's creatures or deprive himself of that necessary to health. See, there's a lot of things that people might call self-denial that aren't really self-denial. So we've got to get a good definition in our life of what self-denial is. Now, how will self-denial be exhibited? How can we see that in our lives? First of all, if we're going to practice self-denial, we have to deny sin. There are things that this world allows which the Word of God condemns. We're going to deny sin. Just because the world says it's okay doesn't mean it is. And if the Bible says it's sin, we're going to call it sin, and we're going to deny that in our lives. We're not going to surrender our lives to sin. Second of all, I'm going to deny the glory of self. In other words, Paul said, I want to count all things for loss that I might gain Christ. What's he saying there? I'm going to put the will of God first and foremost in my life. Whatever God's design is for me, that's what I'm going to do. Whether it's to be king or whether it's to be preacher, whether it's supposed to be, whether I'm supposed to be rich or whether I'm supposed to be a pauper, whatever it is, I'm going to surrender that to God because I just want to gain Christ. The third thing, I'm going to deny those things that are lawful but are not expedient because of their influence on others. In other words, there may be something that's not necessarily sin, but I'm not going to do it because of its influence on someone else. And we could talk about that for a long time too, but just because something is okay doesn't mean I have to do it. Okay? So, deny myself. I might recognize that I can do it, but I'm not going to do it so that I may benefit someone else. Fourth, I'm going to be true to the Word of God. No matter what, I'm going to know the Word, I'm going to seek the Word, and I'm going to walk according to the Word of God. Fifthly, I'm going to seek to perform righteous deeds. One of those things is to speak that which is edifying. You know, righteous deeds, where does this come about? Most people think, well, as long as I don't sin, then everything's okay. That is true. You need not to sin, but you can't stop there. You got to replace sinful actions with righteous actions. One of those things that we do is by the words that we speak. Listen, when you're speaking that which is to the edifying, you need to take into consideration how those words are perceived by the other person, right? You think about, if I say this, how is that going to affect that other person? That's one way to do righteous deeds. One is to just do good things for others. You're going to focus on doing good things. And it's going to cause you to sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice of your time. You're going to have to sacrifice of your talents. You're going to have to sacrifice of your money. You're going to have to sacrifice some to do these righteous deeds. But you're going to do things just to help someone else. You're going to put yourself out for the benefit of someone else. Self-denial. So we also understand that self-denial is not self-deprecating. A lot of people will think that they're practicing self-denial when they belittle themselves. When they tell how bad they are and how unworthy they are and how useless they are and all of that. That's self-deprecating. That's not self-denial. What you're doing when you're saying that how bad you are, you're actually saying God's not any good. You're saying that God's power is not good enough to change you. You're saying that God's will is not strong enough to sustain you and His power will not sustain you. So when you're self-deprecating, you're actually accusing God of the lack of ability to carry you and sustain you. So it's not self-deprecating. One other thing we want to understand is that self-denial will require us to crucify the flesh. Let me just read that. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 24. It says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust." You will have to crucify the flesh and the things that you desire and the lust of the flesh. You'll have to remove those things. Now, here's the main point. I mean, all of these are important. But how vital is this truth? The practicing of self-denial. How vital is that? Well, let's go back to our text. Let's go back to our text in Matthew chapter number 16. Because you all have heard verses 25 and 26 before. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You have heard those two verses of Scripture before. You probably have never heard them in context. You see, verses 25 and 26 are tied to this entire account. When Jesus said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to crucify, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be raised again the third day. And Peter said, oh no, Lord, that's not going to happen. And then Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. And then Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What Jesus is talking about in verse number 25 and 26 is self-denial. What he's saying is this. If you do not deny yourself, if you do not deny yourself, you're going to lose your own soul. See how vital this is? Really, what we find out, how vital is the practice of self-denial? It's a test of sonship. This is proof whether you are a son of God or not. Because a son of God, someone who is born again, practices self-denial, takes up his cross daily, and follows Jesus. Someone who does not practice self-denial and daily live their life to follow after Jesus, the reason they do not is because they are not a son of God. See, why would someone not practice self-denial? Because they want to save their life. They want to live their lives on their own. They want to live their life the way they want to. They want to do their own thing. They want to live their life the way they want to. They don't care what the Bible says about sin. I like doing this, so I'm going to do it. No matter what the Bible says. Or I don't think I need to go to church. I don't think I need Jesus in my life. So I'm going to make it to heaven. No, you're not, because the Bible says you're not. But, oh, I don't need Jesus. I don't need to go to church. I don't. You want to save your own life. You see, someone who's not practicing self-denial is really saying, I want my life. I want to live it the way I want to. And I want to do what I want, when I want, and how I want. And I'm not going to follow Jesus. If you're trying to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you will surrender your life, you're going to find it. How vital is self-denial? It's a test of your sonship. It's a test of your sonship. You see, the reason that one would not practice self-denial is because they love this world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is what they live their lives after. They love this life so much that they're not going to surrender their life to Jesus. And so Jesus says this, what is a man profited if he gained the whole world? So what if you have everything this world has to offer? So what if you get to live your entire life doing things the way you want to, when you want to, and how you want to, and why you want to? But in the end, you lose it all. What are you profited? Jesus says in verse number 27, He wants us to understand the blessing of surrendering to Him. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Here's what He's saying. When you surrender your life to Jesus, you're going to find what real life is. You're not going to find the life that this world has to offer. You're going to find the life that only Jesus gives. You're not going to find the life that this world gives, which is going to burn up and is going to be done away with. You're going to find life and find eternal life. And in the end of life, you're going to be rewarded greatly because you have surrendered your life to Christ daily. You have taken up your cross. You're following Jesus every day. At the end, you will be rewarded. One of the things that we deal with, though, when attempting and following Jesus is contentment. And contentment is a great part of self-denial. when we are content to be what God desires, to have what God gives, and to surrender what God requests, we can know that we are practicing self-denial. Also, we want to understand, though, that self-denial comes in steps. I was thinking about my own life and how early on in my Christian life, I didn't know what it meant to surrender. I didn't know what it meant to practice self-denial. I didn't know what it meant to give my life to Christ and walk with Him. And I thought about all those mistakes I made. If I could take you to Port Clinton, Ohio, to that little apartment I shared with two other guys, and if you could look into that segment of my life, I was supposed to be saved. I was saved at the time, but I just wasn't very saved. I was saved all that I could be saved, but my soul was saved, but my life wasn't saved at all. But I didn't know what it meant to be a Christian. If you could go back and look at that segment of my life, I didn't know. I was young. I had no foundation. I didn't know what it meant to be a Christian. If you could go back there and see the steps that I've gone through the last, see, that was 1986. That'll soon be, let's say it's 29 years ago. Man, if you could go back 29 years ago and look at that, it causes me to think about young people. You know, I think about Haley and Marky, you know, and that, they're just, I was 21 at the time. I think 86 and 60. Yeah, I was 21 at the time. Haley will soon be 21. I think about where she's at in her life and learning this process of self-denial and where I was at that time. Whew. If I put myself where Mark Anthony is in his life and say, where was I at that time? Whew. I was a heathen. He's lots better off than I was. And God saw fit to correct me and get me where I needed to be. And I think God's going to do that for them too. But you got to learn. You got to step. You got to grow. You got to, you know, you got to be closer to the Lord as you go. But you learn more and more to practice self-denial. It happens in steps. It doesn't happen overnight. And we all need to realize that we're in the process of learning how to practice self-denial and to be more what God would have us to be and to be created more in the image of Jesus Christ is a process. But we grow in that process by practicing self-denial. What about you today? You practicing self-denial? Have you surrendered yourself to Jesus? Or are you still clamoring for control of your own life? Have you surrendered your sins to Him? Or are you still clinging on to your old way of life? Where are you at in this process? Some of you are not born again. We know that. You know that really in your heart. You know that you've never been saved. Today I'm asking you to come unto Jesus. Repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Him. Some of you have made a profession of faith, but you know you're not living for Christ. You know the reason you're not living for Christ is because you're really not saved. I'm asking you to be real with yourself and admit the fact that you know that you're lost and that you need a Savior today. Because you're not practicing self-denial. It's a proof of your sonship. You're not one. You need to surrender your life to Christ today. Some of you are in the process. You're very early on. Some of you are farther along. But every one of us have to practice daily self-denial to be more what Jesus would have us to be. Where are you in the process? If there's something that you need to get right, maybe you need to come forward repenting of your sins. Maybe you need to come forward and be baptized. Maybe you need to come and surrender some, confess some sin in your life. Maybe you need to just rededicate your life to Christ. I don't know how the Holy Spirit might be dealing with your heart, but are you practicing self-denial and following after Christ daily? If you're not, I pray that the Holy Spirit will use this message to urge you to follow after Him. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just surrender this message to You, Lord. We ask You to take this message and work in the hearts and lives of Your people. Draw Your people unto Yourself, Lord, we pray. It is in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.